الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. وقال تعالى: فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. With regard to our daily ma'amulats, which we should be reading, also include in them all our five kalimas, and the two, imani mufassal and imani mujmal. That is also very important, especially in these days when a person doesn't know when his iman is lost, without even being aware of it. Quran Sharif says, وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, and they are not aware of it also. But iman has left a person. One is a person voluntarily, na'uzubillah, goes out of the fold of Islam, becomes a murtad. One is a person does some actions or says some words and is not even aware that that has taken him out of the Islam. If he becomes a murtad, he says, I'm no more Muslim, na'uzubillah, he's aware of it, that I'm no more Muslim. He hasn't understood reality in the least, but otherwise it's impossible for any person, the most hardcore atheist, to say that I don't believe in Allah. Allah is so evident, Allah is everywhere. It's impossible. But if a person, in his great foolishness, stupidity, he says, I give up Islam, or some people, for the sake of marriage, just to get married, then they give up the Islam, they accept the religion, Christianity, whatever, religion of the other party. So that is one thing where a person knows that I am no more a Muslim. But where he doesn't know, he does such action, he does such, he says such words. So we have to be very, very careful about that. So like also, as we have heard in the Aqaid Kitab in the morning, that any istihza of deen, that is making a joke about this, even the smallest thing of deen. There are many people who like to be jokey, no problem. You can make jokes. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also made jokes. But don't make it at the cost of your iman. There are more than enough things to make jokes about. Don't make jokes about anything about deen, even the smallest thing of deen. And this istihza, it's not only making a joke, but somebody else made a joke, and we became an accomplice. We also just agreed with it. We smiled also. We laughed at the joke. And today with the cell phone, all the messages that come, somebody makes a joke about the niqab, a niqabi, a woman, calling her ninja, or whatever else, about the beard, some remark about the kurta, anything about deen. And we also just laughed at it. And worse, we shared it. We send it on to somebody else. By that we lose our iman, and we're not even aware. We might be still five times namazis, but we have lost our iman. When we go in the qabr, then it will be a complete different story, and far too late to make amends at that time. So, and one is istihza, and one is istighfaf. To treat a thing as light, any matter of deen. It can be the smallest matter, don't think of it as something small. Don't refer to a sunnat, a mustahab also. It's only a sunnat, like it's not important. It is a sunnat. Compared to rafaraz, its level is much less. But it's a part of deen. Anything, any aspect of deen, don't make istihza, any joke about it. Don't become an accomplice to a joke about any of the smallest things of deen. And don't regard anything of deen. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, the smallest guna is really only a small guna, but it is enough to take you to Jahannam. And the smallest neki, good deed, is a small neki, just a mustahab, just a sunnat, a small, but it's enough to take you to Jannat. So don't regard any good as small, don't regard any bad as small. We must stay away completely. So Allah Ta'ala save us. So to read our kalimas, refresh our iman every night preferably or any time. The first kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not just a matter of reading it, I believe in it. I affirm to it. Second, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. That is giving evidence, shahadat, under oath, which in English it is called, you swear that about this. That is, under oath you say it. Complete so that. Then the third kalima, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla, wa la quwwata illa billahil aliyyil azim. These are what are known as baqiyatu salihat. And they have got great, great virtues, very great virtues, and to repeat them, and to think of the meaning, Subhanallah, Allah is pure, Allah has got no blemish, no fault, no weakness, nothing whatsoever, pure, pure, pure. Alhamdulillah, every quality of praise is with Allah Ta'ala. La ilaha illallah, there is no one that has got any power that can do anything. I don't turn to anyone for any help, only Allah. Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. He is the most great in everything. Allahu Akbar, wa la hawla, wa la quwwata illa billah. And there is no turning away from any guna. On one occasion, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Faqihul Ummah, the greatest faqih of the Ummah. He came to the gathering of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as he was sitting down, he just read, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Like we also, many times, just above your breath. We say, MashaAllah, Bismillah, anything. So he just read, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, Tadri, ma ma'ana, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Oh Abdullah, do you know what is the meaning of la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah? How many of us, do we know the meaning? What is the meaning of la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah? The Arabs were the masters of the Arabic language. But Abdullah ibn Mas'ud also said, Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'la, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Allah and His Rasul. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained the meaning. And when we read this, try and understand the meaning and read it. That la hawla, that there is no turning away from any evil, from any harm, illa billah, but by the help of Allah ta'ala. Wa la quwwa, and there is no power and strength to do any good, illa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, but by the help of Allah Ta'ala. When a person reads on the farsh, on the ground of the earth, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, Allah Tabaruk Ta'ala says on the arsh, we read it here on the farsh, Allah announces on the arsh, aslama abdi wastaslama. My banda has aslama and wastaslama. What is the meaning? All various ulama have made given different meanings. Aslama abdi, abdi fawwada sa'ira umuril kainat ila Allahi azza wa jal. That my banda has handed all of his matters over to Allah Ta'ala. The aslama abdi was, aslama abdi in qada abdi. وَتَرَكَ الْعِنَادِ My banda has become obedient and he has given up disobedience. Allah Ta'ala announces on the arsh that when we read La Hawla, Allah says, أَسْلَمَ عَبْدِي إِنْقَادَ عَبْدِي وَتَرَكَ الْعِنَادِ My banda has become obedient and he has given up disobedience. وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ وَاسْتَسْلَمَ فَوَّذَ سَائِرَ أُمُورِ الْكَائِنَاتِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ بِأَسْرِهَا He has handed all his matters to the finest, smallest detail He has handed it over to Allah Ta'ala. And so Allah Ta'ala takes now care. Many mashayikh have made the complete islah of their murid just with this kalima. That when Allah is at their saying that you have become obedient and you have given up disobedience, what now? And you are saying it 100 times. And Allah is saying it 100 times that this banda of mine, he has become obedient and he has given up disobedience. In the explanation of it, our Shaykh Rahmatullah explained that that banda is still committing some guna. Then the malaika look up with a questioning eye to Allah. Allah, you say he has become obedient and he has given up disobedience, but he's still going to commit guna. He's on his way to this, to the casino. He's going on his way to a brothel. He's on his way there. Then Allah tabarak ta'ala's ghairat, Allah's self-honor and self-respect, that I said these words and he still, Allah blocks that guna there. For example, you might make up a small accident. You get a puncture or anything else happen. There's a roadblock in front. Now you can't, Allah puts that block. And our Shaykh explains this so beautifully, like your child, little now, he's become 1.5, 2 years, and he's eating sand outside. Little children like to eat sand. So then the mother tells the father also that take out all the sand, put pavers, concrete the place. My child is eating sand. Now she's blocking the child from eating because the sand, the child loves to eat the sand, but it's unhealthy for the child. Now, children are also children, as young as they may be. The neighbor's child comes and play with this child. So they make an arrangement, you must bring the sand in your pocket. And when you come, you bring the sand. Now the mother realizes, so she puts up a custom office, that when you come, there will be first customs here. We'll check you whether you got any sand in your pocket. So all this, Allah Ta'ala puts this block, we think is a problem in my life. I wanted to go for a holiday, an evil holiday with somebody somewhere, and Allah made me sick, and now I'm in bed. And we think it's a problem, but Allah is keeping us away. Many things in our lives, which we think as harmful, but they are greatly beneficial to us. We'll repeat that instance of that king that who used to love his hunting and used to go regular on his hunting trips on one with his chief minister who he had a close relationship with. So on one such trip, the king got hurt and cut his he cut himself between his thumb and his forefinger. And just when you get cut, it burns and you feel the pain also. And the minister had the habit of saying for everything, jo Allah karta hai, so achha karta hai. Whatever Allah does is for the best. So the king got hurt, it's paining him, it's burning, and he's saying what Allah did is good. So the king, they think like kings, he got very angry and upset. I'm suffering, I'm getting this pain, and you think it's good what happened. He ordered he must be put into jail for 3 days. And he, everything he used to say, jo Allah karta hai, so achha karta hai. So when he ordered his 3 days in jail, then again he said, what Allah does is for the best. The king carried on with his journey. He wanted to go on his hunting journey. He went beyond his borders, a land where there were cannibals who eat human beings alive. They caught hold of the king. And they were going to eat him now alive. But they also had some masalas like we have for qurbani. Like the qurbani animal, the eyes must be right, the horns must be right, the tail must be right. So they had also that there must be no scratch, no wound on the body. So when they checked him up, they found that this, where he got hurt, that scar was there, that mark was there. So they said, no, he's not fit for qurbani, so they let him go. So then he realized, so Allah karta hai, so achha karta hai. Allah gave me the small cut, but my life got saved. Otherwise, they were going to eat me up alive. So he came back, and red carpet treatment he gave to his minister, bring him out of jail. That now I understand the wisdom of his words. But then he said, I got saved, I understand what you said. But I went, sent you to jail, what was the goodness in there? So he says, King Badshah Salamat, you know we never separate. We are always together. our separation is impossible. And when they caught you, if I did not go to jail, you did not order, I should be with you. You should have got saved because your finger was cut. And me, no scar, no marks on my body. They should have eaten me alive. So I stayed 3 days in jail, and that was good for me. My life got saved. Then the king understood, and hopefully we understand. وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah says that we give them a small punishment in this world, whether it's health, whether it's finances, whether it's fight in the family, whatever it can be. These are small things. دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ. We are saving them from the big punishment. And why we are giving this? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. It's our mercy. When a doctor, he cuts you up in the operation room, and you are under anesthetic, you don't feel the pain, and you have to sign for the operation. For him to cut, if a crook comes to you with a knife, with a dagger, he doesn't let you sign first, that you must first sign that I can stab you. He stabs you and you get angry, you can lose your life. You lay a charge against him if you get saved everything. But for the doctor, you sign that you are allowing him to cut you up. And not only that, you have agreed to a big amount of money to pay him for cutting you up. And you know he's going to cut you. But all that cutting, for what is it? Hopefully for your health. That your health will be restored again. And then not only you'll pay the money, in many cases you'll give him a small gift also above that. And for what? For cutting you. So all that cutting operation which takes place, people are suffering in floods, in droughts, all the cutting operations of Allah Ta'ala. And it is the wrong that we have done. We lost our health because of our bad habits, our drugs we were having, smoking, destroyed our lungs, having illicit sexual relationships, AIDS, HIV, we destroyed ourselves. Now with some treatment, you will come right again. So this is all treatments, and that is also the love of Allah. It isn't the hatred of Allah. Allah doesn't hate His creation. He loves His creation. That's why He gives the small, and to save them from the big punishment of Akhirah. The smallest punishment of the Akhirah is more bigger than the worst trouble of this world. So Allah wants to save us from there. So, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allah Ta'ala protects us. So we should read this. And there is much more detail and wonderful imani booster detail in this. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Unfortunately, the ummah at large has taken la hawla wa la quwwata far, far, far away from its value. If we see a pig, for example, we read la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Somebody committing some guna, la hawla wa la quwwata. La hawla wa la quwwata, what is the meaning? That there is no power that can turn and save you from Jahannam, from the disobedience of Allah. There is no power that can turn you to Jannah, turn you to the obedience of Allah, but Allah. And today, so much so, for example, we see a woman dressed badly, and we say, La hawla wa la quwwata, and we tell Maulana, our friend, Maulana, just see how the woman are dressed. We are committing guna ourselves also, and we are inviting Maulana. Maulana, just see this woman here. I'm sending you this video. The pictures are bad. But Maulana, just see how the women are dressing, how they're behaving. So we write there also, La wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. That, but what is the meaning of la hawla? And what we are using it for? Like it's just words that we are using. But so great, so great. Our whole islah can be done with la hawla wala quwwata. Allah give us tawfiq. And we should try 100 times a day, read la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So the third kalima. And then the fourth kalima, la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd yuhyi wa yumit bihi al-khair wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. And this, the meaning of it should give us joy. It should boost our iman. That what wonderful words. And say it with meaning. And as we are lying on bed and we are going to sleep and we read this, instead of having the cell phone, instead of fantasizing of terrible things, read this and then see. Some friend wrote and is getting all nightmares. Whenever he's sleeping, some terrible dreams and nightmares he's getting. Read the Kalima, read Ayatul Kursi, read Durood Sharif, and then see the Mubarak dreams you get. But we are involved in filth and dirt. How many fall asleep? You don't know when this phone fell from your hand and when you fell asleep. And if you have to open the phone again and see what the person was watching, and you fall asleep like that. Once we went for an ijtima to Cape Town, and we stayed at somebody's place. Upstairs we stayed, and for Fajr we had to come down and pass the dining room, the lounge, to go out for namaz. When we came to the lounge, the TV was on, but nothing on the screen. It was now just blank, just all that lines were showing. And the people there, it was like a war zone. Somebody died, like sleeping on this side, somebody on the ground, watching TV, and they all fell asleep. Now, really, a war zone is lighter than sleeping in that way, in the disobedience of Allah, looking at haram and then sleeping away. But how many of us, our every night's mort, our sleep comes in that way? We are thinking about haram. How many people like this now? We are pious. Our outward we have made pious. We really made the outward pious, but we're still fantasizing. My wife is sleeping right next to me, but she has got no appeal for me. And I'm thinking of filthy woman, that I know I won't do all those things. But just to make myself happy in my mind, in my heart, I'm thinking of all that filth and dirt. And we sleep away like that. And if mort is to come in the sleep like that, how sad it is. So read the kalimas. And all the kalimas, they are the foundations of our whole iman and Islam. So how much is in the kalima? But we take it just like for small children, like we also learned it when we were small children, shouting at the top of our voices when we were reading, the Ustad made us read it, and we were reading it, but it's everything. And what is tasawwuf? The nihayat of tasawwuf, the end of it, when you have reached the end, ruju ila al-bidayah, you come back to the start again. You can traverse the whole course of tasawwuf, of all the various aspects of closeness to Allah. But the end of it is when you come back to La ilaha illallah, where you started with La ilaha illallah. And we find a race also is like that, where the starting point of the race is, that's the finishing point. You have to finish your whole round and you come and finish back here again. So like that, we are now racing to Allah. And when we come back again to La ilaha illallah, come back to our relationship with Allah Ta'ala. And then the fifth kalima, the denial of shirk. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika shay'an wa ana a'lam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam tubtu anhu wa tabarra'tu min al-kufri wa shirki wal ma'asi kulliha aslamtu wa amantu wa aqulu la ilaha illallah. And if what comes on La ilaha illallah, what greater thing can there be? The whole world with all the empires, with all the politics and the parliaments and the whole world of business and all sports and entertainment, everything. And La ilaha illallah, that is the greatest thing. So we read our kalimat. Then read our two amantu. Amantu billahi. Kama huwa amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawmil akhiri wal qadri khairihi wa sharrihi min Allahi ta'ala wal ba'athi ba'd al maut. There may be some amongst us who have even forgotten our kalima. Even the words we have forgotten. Revise it again. These are the essence and the pillars of our being and our Islam. And the opposite, the negative of it, read that also. Amantu اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أشرك بك شيئا وأنا أعلم به وأستغفرك لما لا أعلم به، تبت عنه وتبرأت من الكفر والشرك والمعاصي كلها، أسلمت وآمنت وأقول لا إله إلا الله. So this is what we should do regularly, inshallah. If we have forgotten the words and that, refresh them. It won't take long, but make sure we read them. Make it part of our wazifa. Read it after Fajr, read it after Maghrib, and if otherwise, once at least before going to sleep. And many who suffer from insomnia, who can't fall asleep, you will be shocked and surprised what a good sleep you get. Just read this, connect ourselves with the source of peace and calm and serenity that is Allah Ta'ala, and see what Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala will give us. So try and read our kalimas, are very, very important. Read them in the morning, in the evening, and at least when we are going to sleep, read our kalimas, inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq. With regard to the things that we are supposed to do in Ramadan, and Ramadan is a, just like namaz, is that training period also. It's an ibadat of Allah, and that is what it is. But namaz, if we do it properly, then for the rest of your time, for the rest of your life, bring it on the tartib of namaz. Obedience of Allah. We surrender to Allah. We go in ruku, we admit, oh Allah, I submit to you. So to, in my whole life I submit to you. In my whole life I surrender to you. And going in sajda, total obedience to you alone. Not only the 2-3 seconds in sajda, but my whole life. Namaz is an indication. Ramzan and rozas are also that we submit ourselves. As we stay away from 3 things in roza, eat, drink, and our desires, like that for life, this is a lesson. Not only these 3 things, not only in Ramzan, but it is a lesson to learn for life. So this is that training period Allah has given us. So as Ramzan is to teach us lessons and correct our whole lives, like that namaz also. So our namaz, and that will become correct when we do it correctly. If on your you have to renew any policy and you write your date wrong, just your date you wrote 100 years back, instead of writing 2025, you wrote 1925 or something. So that will invalidate the whole thing. So yeah, also make sure that when we renewing, that we do everything correct. Our iman must be correct, everything. And a person who is really, we are here, we have come for our islah, for nisbat ma'allah, come for the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. And it isn't one department of our life that we have come here just for 10 days at i'tikaf or for 30, 40 days at i'tikaf. No, it is to change our life. This isn't just we went for one cause. People go for umrah, 3 days umrah, 1 week umrah, 10 days umrah. And if it is that we're just going there, just that one part, our umrah, we become very pious. And after that, back to normal again. We even date a girl, but we tell her that when I come back from umrah. What kind of umrah is that? What is our life? That is no deen whatsoever. This is to bring a change. We want to do some haram work, and we say after Fajr, after Isha we'll do. No, namaz is to change our life. It's not just one department that we fulfill, and we do it, and then after that we're free, we can do what we want to. A complete change must come in our life. So our namazes also are supposed, every namaz is supposed to bring a complete change. And that change, there's no limit to changing and correcting ourselves and coming closer to Allah all the time till the end of our life. We have to walk this way. And there is no limit. Ye wo samandar hai jiska kinara nahi. This is that sea that has got no shore. You swam your whole life, you won't reach the shore. And this is in the love of Allah Ta'ala. And that is what Islam is. we also, unfortunately, by and large, we made Islam a religion of rules and regulations. We haven't seen Islam as a religion of love of Allah Ta'ala. And any person finds it hard to live by rules and regulations. And every person loves to live a life of love. Islam is a religion of the love of Allah. Even if the rules and regulations Allah has made, it's all in the love of Allah Ta'ala. Parents in a house, they make rules and regulations for the children, which the children don't like. But for what did they make those rules and regulations? To teach them good akhlaq, character. Children like to be just raw and speak out anything and do anything. The parents, it's their duty. And they outwardly showing that you are disciplining them. That means you're putting them under restriction. But it is your love for them. You want the best to come out. Tomorrow I may not be here, but my child will have good character. You taught him truthfulness. Imam Abdul Qadir Jailani, rahmatullah alayhi, his mother taught him when she sent him to go and learn. And she had given him some gold coins which she sewn in his clothing, hidden away, so that in case crooks get hold of him, they won't find it. And were there for her to spend not his 1 year in the Darulum, for 10 years he's going to go. And he needs all this money. He needs to support himself. On the way, the highway robbers, they were in those days also, they caught hold of this caravan. And they started looting, robbing, plundering, hitting, killing the people. Small boy they saw. What could he have? They asked him, just by the way, you got anything? He said, yes, I got so many 10 gold coins. He was shocked. Small boy, he doesn't know what he's talking. Small boy, 10 gold coins he's got, or whatever amount it might be. Then they asked, where's it? And he showed it. My mother showed it. It's here, hidden away here. So he took him to the leader of all the crooks, that this is a boy and he's saying like this. So they opened up, they found it. They asked him, what made you say this? He said, my mother told me I must never speak a lie. Anyone ask me, I must speak. That became the cause of that whole group for their lifelong robbing people, killing people, all the big haram of their life. They all made tawbah and they all became awliya. So this is a parent's love and teaching. Now the mother, when she taught the child, she didn't teach the child to harm the child. For the goodness of the, and the goodness extended to this extent that a whole big group which the government couldn't control. They were robbing people there and the government couldn't control them. The police, the army, but yeah, just the one teaching of the mother. So mothers, fathers, what we teach our, so Islam is a whole religion. Don't we all want peace in the world? Now how will you get peace when the governments make laws? That, for example, for stealing, this is the punishment, that is the punishment. And if you get caught doing anything wrong, you'll go to jail. Now, all those laws, if we just look at them as laws, this government is very hard. They are very strict here. But for what is it? To give peace to the whole country, everyone. Today, when that is the absence of that, which they call freedom, and which they call liberty, well, what is the result of that? Every innocent, law-abiding citizen is living in a jail. All of us, voluntarily, we made our own houses jails. The barbed wire we got, the fences we have got, the alarm systems, that's a jail that it's supposed to be. A house is supposed to be an open place. And the crooks are walking freely on the streets. They got any time. We are afraid to go for fajr walking. We are afraid to go Isha for walking. And some places even during the day. And some places from the crooks you have to save yourself. Other places, the masjids, they are in the shopping malls. And when you go there, your iman is stolen. The women who are walking nakedly around right by the door of the masjid where you enter. And the dressing is so terrible, your iman is at stake. Now if the government makes a law that the woman must dress correctly, we will say we are snatching away the freedom of the woman. But that is to protect the citizen. The people want to rob and steal. The government makes laws to protect the innocent. Today the governments and what we call this democratic government, they are all to protect the crooks. This one person, a buzurg, pious person, always making dua that, Ya Allah, if you give me my two rotis, then I will spend my whole time for your ibadah. Now I spend all my time in my ibadah, but to earn my two rotis, my one meal for the day, which keeps me going the whole day. For that I have to go and work. I have to work for this person, work for that. I get some money, I buy my roti, I live. If you give me my two rotis, then I don't have to work. So, and he was a buzurg that was later found only making dua for afiyat, for well-being, comfort, ease. So somebody asked him, why you only make this dua? And this has been encouraged by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make dua for afiyat, the greatest dua, dua for afiyat. So he says that, I used to make dua for my two rotis, that I wanted my two rotis, so I can spend my 24 hours in the ibadat of Allah. So one day when I went out, I saw two people fighting, one person hitting another person. And it looked like this person is making zulam on this person. So I went and helped out. In the process, he hit me on my head. And I started bleeding from my head. In the process, the police came there. And they found us three there in a squabble and fight. They put all three of us in jail. And I was innocent. I went and helped out. But the police, they don't listen. They say that... just remind me where I was. This one minister of health went to the med hospital to go and see how things are running, etc. When he came there, it happened that the guard was off duty. He went to toilet. So he just walked through the gate. And he went in and he started checking up everything. After he finished his routine check, everything, he was coming out. Now the guard was back on. So he wanted to go out. So he told him, in, under. Under chale jao. So he says, I'm the minister of health. He says, all who are here, they all say they're minister of health. And the one is minister of education, and one is the prime minister, and one is the president, all. They're all like that. You go back in. With great difficulty he managed to come out. See? So like this, we get the picture in the wrong way. What was I saying? Okay. Went to? Yeah, so this buzurg was making dua for the two rotis. So anyway, now they put him in jail also. So then he realized, Allah put him in his heart, don't make dua for two rotis, make dua for afiyat. And he started making dua for afiyat, then Allah made all the means for him to come out of jail also. And in jail, this is the point I wanted to make, that there he was getting his two rotis of super quality, best quality. Many people commit crime to go in jail. How they are looked after there. Free TV they get there. Free food they get there. And the whole day just lazing around, doing nothing there. And they get getting a wonderful life. And all who's paying for that? The citizens are paying. The law-abiding citizens. They are paying for these people to go to jail. And many of them love to be in jail. They prefer to be in jail. Yeah, they don't get sleeping place. They don't get food. There they get everything. So then Allah Ta'ala put in his heart. Now he says, I only make dua for afiyat. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Make the dua for afiyat also. So all our deeds, laws, namaz five times is a great gift of Allah Ta'ala. We take it, na'udhu billah. What Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ju'ilat qurratu ayni fi salah. The coolness, the enjoyment of my life, Allah made it for me in namaz. Today, namaz is a musibat for us. And namaz is a problem for us. Now I have to get up for fajr. Now I have to leave all my this work, that work. I have to go for zuhr now. Namaz is an enjoyment. But we haven't seen Islam. And because of that, we are presenting Islam to the people, that Islam, that Ramzan now, 30 days, rozas, we have to stay hungry, can't eat anything. If you take Ramzan, is a detoxing, even outwardly for your health's sake. Scientists have written thesis on what the roza is, what the great, great benefits are. One good friend of ours, is marhum, Allah grant all Jannah, he went to a what you this health care for your dietitian. So the dietitian told him that you people, Muslim people, you have got the best medicine for health care, and that is roza. And then you have been taught, open your roza on the best of things, khajur, on fruit. Fruit is the best thing to eat. And the fruit also, the king of fruits, khajur, dates, is the king of all the fruits. And today Allah has made it that khajur of Medina Sharif, ajwa, somebody brings some khajur, this from the farm of Hazrat Salman Farsi. This is from that place where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam planted those burned out spats. And till today those spats are bearing fruit, khajur. Whereas it is by the law of agriculture, a burned out pit cannot, it can't bear anything. But the hand of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, until today, one Sahabi came to Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam and complained that I've got debts on me and I can't meet my debts. Jewish people that I've taken debts, they are pressing me and I just can't meet. I've got my farm, but my farm doesn't yield so much of crop. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, when it's again the time when you have to reap your crop, call me. The Nabi went there, Ali Salatu Wasalam. He took down the fruits and he put it in a bag, the khajur. And Nabi Sallallahu started giving it out and it never came to an end. Just carried on and on and on. So this is our deen. It's a deen of barakat, a deen of love. A deen, or no, we made it like this, we take it like that. We haven't understood. And the object of a khanka today, by and large, khankas also are just places of restrictions and rituals. Read so much wazif others, read that. But the love of Allah, you'll completely forget the looking at the filthy woman once you get a glimpse of Allah. And when you get a good look of Allah, then what to say? When you're one tahajjud and your tears are flowing in your sajda, if that comes to you, when you lift your hands and your tears fill up and swell up with tears in your eyes, then what is looking at all this filth and dirt? But today we have got the wrong idea. So we are depriving the world like a snake sitting on a trunk where there are jewels, the diamonds, pearls, valuables there are. And the best remedies for every problem of the world. It can't benefit itself, not allowing others. We are the Muslims, we have got Quran and Hadith. We have got Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There can't be anything more greater, the greatest, but we haven't brought it in our life. We have copied the lives of the kuffar. We go for holidays like them. Our education system like that. Our children must become doctors and lawyers. Our children must go to universities. Even if the child is crying and doesn't want to go, the parents are forcing their child to go. So we have got it wrong. Our lifestyle, everything, our houses planning is like the kuffar's houses. Our morning, our system of the morning to night is like their system. Take the children to school, go to work, do this, do that. It's all their system. Islamic system, how many of us know about qailula, siesta, rest in the afternoon? How many of us make, now Ramzan, we got free time, whereas Ramzan was supposed to be the most busy time. But we make sure we make our qailula. But besides that, once we are out of Ramzan, we are back in our homes, no qailula. We don't even think. And Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali is written to make qailula with the niyat of sunnat is more rewarding, more superior than making tahajjud, which is nafal. Nafal tahajjud is a great ibadat, very great. But in any case, it's a nafal ibadat. The qailula, sunnat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nafal cannot compare with a sunnat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So great, but how many of us make qailula? And if we make it, do we make the niyat is the sunnat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Or just because we enjoy that qailula? So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to get the essence of deen. So like that, namaz also. We have to work on our namaz and make our namaz what namaz is supposed to be. It's not just an exercise, not just up and down. kissing the ground and we go back to town. That is not namaz. Namaz is a connection. Which namaz of mine did I get connected with Allah? If you've got a house, you are building your shop, or anything, factory, all your machinery have come in the house, your stove is there, electric stove, your microwave, your fan, everything, all other gadgets, everything in the house, but no current is coming. If we have got outwardly all our things in place, my hajj is done, my zakat I'm giving, but I'm not connected with Allah. The current is not flowing from Allah Ta'ala. That is what we have to acquire. And by this Ramadan, by namaz, by rozas, that is what we have to get, our connection with Allah. And once you are connected, you're a living person, you're no more just a robot. And by them, all they are producing are robots they are producing. So we are just a robot making namaz also. No, our tilawat like a recorder. We're just reading it off again. Even a good hafiz is reading his Quran Sharif, but his heart is not connected with Allah. You are reading a love letter, and you're reading it in beautiful, different tones. And sometimes you are singing and reading it. Sometimes you are serious and you are reading it. But you don't know, you are not connected with your beloved. And one is you don't even understand the language of the letter. But your heart is, it came from my beloved. Majnu says, who is known as the great lover of Layla. And in fact, it was such that the king said, Layla, who is this Layla? That Majnu is so mad, the whole world, it's famous in the world. Majnu and Layla's story. So she must be an exceptionally, exceptionally beautiful woman. So he summoned her to come. So I want to see you. Who are you? How beautiful. Then when he saw him, you're just an ordinary woman. You're not any special woman. So she said, you need the eyes of Majnu to see me. Then you'll know who I am. As a stranger, you see me, I'm just a stranger. I'm nobody. But you need the eyes of Majnu. So we need the eyes of Majnu to see Allah. Otherwise, we can't see Allah. If we just got the eyes of cricketers and soccer players, and all other things, dunya's education and dunya's entertainment, then where can we see Allah? You need the eyes of the eyes of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the eyes of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiyallahu, of the Sahaba, of the great men of Allah. Then see what your namaz is. Then see what your ibadat is. So this is what we have to do. So this is all just by way of introduction still. And this is a very important subject. And our days are very limited now. But all this, that our namaz becomes correct. Outward form of our namaz also becomes correct. And the connection with Allah comes in our namaz. And then we make that namaz. Hazrat Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Ali was one of the few people, very few people are blessed with this. That total absorption, and it's not a faraz, it's not a requirement also. That in namaz you are totally absorbed and you are with Allah Ta'ala. On the other hand, Maulana Palanpuri once said in a tabligh ijtima, our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Sahib, is a very practical man. That even if he's in namaz, and from the sounds around him he hears visitors have come, he'll make his namaz short and see to the visitors. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, when he heard the crying of children, then he made his namaz shorter, that the mother mustn't be get parishan and worried. And so Nabi Ali, so that is permissible. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam's namaz was like that. You know what is happening. But there are those people who are so absorbed in their namaz that they know nothing what is happening around them. Amongst them, in our recent times, is Maulana Hussein Ahmed Madani. Once he was invited to go to Pakistan before the formation of Pakistan. It was all India stuff. Jalandhar. And on the way, the trains had to change their engines. After a certain time, they change, and there it takes longer, and it happened to be Fajr time. So they got off the train to make Fajr. And Maulana was the most senior there. So they say, you make namaz. And his recital of Quran was also so beautiful. So he read namaz, and then the finish changed the engines. They sounded the hooter, the train, the siren. The conductor came right by them, and the train is about to move now. break your namaz and get on the train is going to move. But Maulana just carried on. Friday, and he's reading Alif Lam, Mim Sajda, and Surah Dahar on Safar. And when they are in the train, when we also will just read Wal Asrin Inna Atena. But he's reading Alif Lam, Mim, and after that, the train went away. So then Maulana Khair Muhammad Jalandri, who invited, and he was, well, he said, Maulana, train is gone, and you could have broken your. He said, I know the masala, and I also know we could have read short. But I was so involved, so engrossed in my namaz, I did not hear the siren, I didn't hear the whistle of the train, the conductor came, I know nothing, I was gone somewhere else completely. And then see Allah's shan, when we are like that, don't think you're going to lose out in dunya. No, if you have deen, Allah gives you dunya also. The train reversed and came back again. Then that time, the British were ruling India. And the British, in the dunya matters, they are more doing everything up to date and correctly. The station master came out. He says, the train, nothing wrong with it. It will move. But it can't move without this Baba. This Baba has to get on the train, then the train will move. And Abad, when Maulana went on, the train came back because there's some fault. They have to fix it up. No fault. And it moved and it completes its whole journey. And so many other cases, we come right. And our namazes come right. Make effort. Don't just make our namazes up and down. Make namaz what it is. Salat, the basic meaning of it is dua. And dua, the basic is connection with Allah. But we make our namaz from the start to the end, no connection of Allah. So outwardly we made. Shar'an, ask any mufti, yes, your namaz is made. And Qiyamah's day also, we will be absolved. You made no namaz. But the fruit and the enjoyment, you planted the trees, but the whole life you didn't get any fruit from your trees. You only were looking after your tree, no fruit. Allah give us tawfiq to understand what is namaz and to make our namaz is namaz. Our true nafal, and then what to say of our faras, of fajr, and our tahajjud, and our other namazes. Then a person will look forward and enjoy namaz. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah.